Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercies. Thank you for your helps in our lives. Thank you for your strength that is sustaining us. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for honoring your name in our lives. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for your favor that is upon us. Thank you for your mercies and love that is upon us. Thank you for destroying the works of darkness that were done against us. Thank you for frustrating the efforts of our enemies that was devised against us. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for your presence and power in our lives that is producing great deliverances and great victories. Thank you for your presence that is producing spiritual growth in our lives. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that always teaches us your ways and guide us through your ways. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you especially for these Bible study classes we have been having for some time now. We thank you for all the things you have taught us in this place. We thank you for how you have helped us to obey those teachings. Thank you, Father. We are here once again in your presence to learn from you and from your word. I ask that you minister to every heart that are here and those that will still join in Jesus' name. Father, bless our understanding with more of your knowledge and truth in Jesus' name. Let the entrance of your word produce revival and transformation in every life here today, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for we know you're going to do more than we have asked. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to continue with our teaching series, which you know to be persecution. And we stopped at one of the reasons why persecutors attack Christians. We discussed last week on the fact that those persecutors are ignorance of the truth, and that is why they attack Christians. Some of them, it is because of their ignorance of the truth, because they do not know what we know. And usually human beings would fight what they don't know, what they don't understand, and what they can't control. Yeah, human beings love to fight such things. Number one, they love to fight what they don't know. Number two, what they don't understand. And number three, what they cannot control. They love to fight it. So that was what we talked about last week. So today we're going to be looking at another reason why persecutors attack Christians. And that is because they don't truly know God. They attack Christians because they do not truly know God. They do not truly know God. Yeah, because some of them can claim that they know God. Yeah, for instance, Saul of Tarsus, who later became Paul, the apostle, thought he was doing service to God by attacking God's people and by handing them over to be killed and to be imprisoned. Yeah, so he thought he was doing God a service by having Christians killed and imprisoned. Yeah, whereas he was actually doing God a great he was offending God. Yeah, so persecutors sometimes would think what they are doing to you is the will of God. I mean, sometimes they would think attacking you is the will of God because they do not know God. If they know God, they will know that His will is not what they are doing. Yeah, so, and in fact, Jesus said the time will come where people would attack us and they would say they are doing God a service. Yeah. So even Jesus Christ already said that. Yeah, so we should know that anyone who doesn't know God can do anything to us, can do us harm. Yeah, anyone that doesn't know God, that doesn't have a personal relationship with God, can do us anything. Yeah, so you as a believer should know that. Yeah, even if the person claimed that they know God, but you know that these people don't really know God. Yeah, whatever God they claim they know, you know that is not the God you serve. So expect that Satan can use them to attack you. Yeah. So we should know that. Yeah, I want to show you that place where Jesus said people will attack us and they will say they are doing God a service. Yeah, that is John chapter 16. Open your Bibles to John 16. Verse 2. Yeah, John 16, verse 2. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that it doeth God's service. Verse 3, and these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father, nor me. Yeah, you can see that. Jesus said, they will do all these things to you because they have not known the Father, nor him. Yeah, he said, they will put you out of the synagogues, which they did to the early Christians. And then they killed some of them because they believe killing them is a service unto God. Yeah, so we should expect people that do not know God to attack us. And many times when I get persecuted by such people, I don't really blame them. Yeah, I'm not saying what they have done is good. Yeah, so I'm not justifying that what they are doing to me is good. Yeah, but I'm not blaming them because it's what I already expect from them. I mean, or maybe I should use the word, I'm not moved. Yeah. Because what they are doing is what they, you know, is what I expect them to do. Yeah, because anyone that doesn't know God will offend God and will offend God's people. Yeah, that is constant. Anyone who doesn't know God will offend God, will sin against God, and will persecute or attack God's people. Yeah, whether they want to do it or not, you know, whether directly or indirectly, they will just find themselves doing that. Yeah, one thing about the spiritual realms is that you have to serve something. You cannot be neutral. You have to belong to somewhere, and you have to serve or worship something. You have to be a slave of something. Yeah, that's the reality of the spiritual realm. So it's either you are serving God or you are serving Satan. It's either you belong to the light or you belong to the darkness. So there is no middle ground to stay. Yeah, so anyone that doesn't know God, anyone that has no relationship with God, no connection with God, they will definitely serve the devil. And they will definitely become an enemy of God, even if they think they are not an enemy of God. They are already an enemy of God. Yeah, because you can't be neutral in the spiritual realms. You can't be neutral. You have to be. You have to be in a place. It's either you are in the light or you are in the dark. Yeah, there's no middle ground. Yeah, even the people that say they don't believe God exists, they are in the dark. they are in darkness, because it is Satan that is giving them such knowledge, or it is Satan who have deceived them to choose such mindset or such way of life. Yeah, because Satan wants to use them, and Satan will not be able to use them effectively for what he wants to use them for, if they agree and believe that God is real and that God exists. So Satan makes sure that they don't believe and agree that God exists, because he wants to use them in a capacity that demands such mindset. So they must have such mindset for Satan to use them effectively. So that is why he deceived those people to believe that there is no God. So even those who say there is no God, who doesn't believe in God, they are in the dark. They are on the side of Satan. Yeah, they are serving Satan, because it is Satan that deceived them to have such mind or such mindset. Yeah, so in the spiritual realm, you can't be in between. You are either on the lost side, or you are not on the lost side. That doesn't. You're either with the Lord or against the Lord. That is it. Yeah, so, and those of us that knows God should be ready to be attacked by those who doesn't know God. Yeah, especially those who doesn't really know him, who doesn't truly know him, and we can see in the scriptures how God wants us to know him, how God wants to be known by us. Yeah, Jesus exposed it to us in the Bible. Yeah, God is not looking for mental knowledge. That is not how God wants to be known by us. Not mental knowledge or head knowledge. No, not the type of knowledge you get in the university or at the college. Yeah, the type of knowledge you get because a lecturer walk into the class and teach you mathematics or geography, yeah, or science subjects, and then do some experiments. Yeah, not that type of knowledge. So let us see in the scripture the kind of knowledge God wants us to have of him. Yeah, open your Bibles to John. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 22. John chapter 4, verse 22. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now Jesus was talking to this Samaritan woman. He said, you people are worshipping what you don't know. people are worshipping ignorantly. He said, you people are worshipping ignorantly. You're worshipping what you don't know. Yeah, but then he said, we know what we worship. Yeah, you can see. So it's possible for people to worship ignorantly. Yeah, and you will do that if you only have a mental knowledge of God. Now, let us read that passage further. Jesus said, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. What he meant by that, that expression, for salvation is of the Jews, is that salvation will happen to the Jews and come from the Jews. Yeah. So that is the plan, God's plan of saving human beings will start from the Jews. Yeah. So God's plan of saving the whole world will start from the Jews, which was correct. Yeah, so Jesus was telling that Samaritan woman that God has been saving the Jews. Yeah, and he will also save the whole world through the Jews. And we saw that Jesus Christ limited his ministry to the Jews. I mean, his earthly ministry before he died and went back to heaven. And then he commanded those apostles, who were all Jews, he commanded them to now take the gospel to the end of the world. So that was what Jesus meant. Yeah. So Jesus was telling that woman that for thousands of years, or for hundreds of years, God have been with the Jews, and God have been saving them. So the Jews, when they worship God, they know who they are worshiping. Yeah, and God will also use the same Jews to save the world, because they are the ones who will go into the world and preach, which eventually happened. Yeah, now in verse 23, Jesus said, but the hour cometh, and now he is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Can you see that? Yeah, Jesus already told him that salvation is of the Jews, but then Jesus went further to say that there is more to this salvation. And very soon, and in fact, he said, is not even soon anymore. It has that hour has come, where everyone that will worship God will be able to do it in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. What does that mean? Remember Jesus said in verse 22 that we know what we worship. So, our worship and knowledge is connected. So, we are supposed to worship God based on how much we know Him. Yeah, so worship and knowledge is connected, and the highest, or maybe I should put it this way, the measurement of your worship to God is going to be determined by how much you know Him. Yeah, that is, you can't worship God beyond your knowledge of Him. Yeah, you can't worship Him beyond how much of Him you know. Yeah, can you get that? So Jesus connected worship with knowledge. In that verse 22, He said, "You people worship what you don't know, or who you don't know, but we worship who we know. We worship what we know." Yeah, and now he now went further to say, "But the hour is coming, and now is the hour, where those that are true worshippers of God will worship Him in spirit." So which means that they will know Him in spirit. Yeah. Yeah, since knowledge and worship are connected, so to worship Him in spirit means that you have known Him in spirit. And not only that, you have known Him in truth. Yeah, so that is why you are able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so what does it mean to worship God in spirit? It means that your spirit is connected or immersed in His spirit, and in that realm of His spirit, you are now worshiping Him. Yeah, so it means that your spirit and His spirit are connected or are bonded, are together, are in each other. Your spirit is in His spirit, and His spirit is in your spirit. Yeah, so that knowledge is not a mental knowledge. It is a spiritual knowledge, a knowledge of intimacy. Yeah, a knowledge of closeness and bond. Yeah, so that's the kind of knowledge that God wants us to have of Him. Not head knowledge, but a knowledge that is spiritual, a knowledge that is according to our spirit. Yeah, a knowledge that is according to bonding, according to closeness, intimacy. That's the kind of knowledge God wants us to have of Him. So which can only be, or let me say, we can only have that type of knowledge through our spirits. We cannot have it through our head, through our mind. Yeah, we can only have it through our spirit or our heart. Yeah, so that is that type of knowledge that God wants us to have of Him. And now God wants us to worship Him based on that knowledge that we have of Him. And also based on the truth He has revealed to us about Him. Yeah, that is what Jesus meant by saying, the true worshippers, they shall worship God in spirit and in truth. That is, after those worshippers have been activated in their spirits and they have been bonded with God in the spirit. Now there is this transfer of information, transfer of truths that happens between the heart of God to their own heart. There's a transfer of truths, transfer of knowledge. Yeah, in the realm of your spirit and God's spirit, where your spirit and God's spirit have united, have bonded. Yeah. So in that bond and oneness, there is transfer of fruits, which we sometimes call revelations. Yeah. So things begin to come out of God's heart into your heart, or things begin to flow from God's heart into your heart, and also you also begin to pour out your heart to into God's heart. Yeah, so that bond, that is the kind of knowledge, or that is where God wants us to know Him. He wants us to know Him in our spirits and through our spirits. So that type of knowledge can only happen after our spirits have been revived or activated and now connected or bonded with God's spirit. Yeah, that is where God wants us to know Him. He doesn't want to be known in our head. Now, So when you worship God, by seeing yourself inside of Him and seeing Him inside of you. So you worship God from that point of your bond with Him, that point where He bonded with you and you bonded with Him. That is, He is in you and you in Him. And that point is in your spirit. So when you are worshiping God, you worship God from that point or from that place. They are not from your head. And then it says, they shall worship the Father in truth. So you worship God based on how much you have learned, how much you have known in that place of bond or spiritual bond with Him. Yeah, so the truth you have known of Him, yeah, so you worship Him based on that truth. How much you have learnt of Him, how much He has revealed to you of Himself. Yeah, at that point of spiritual bond. Yeah, so this is different from mental knowledge. Now, you might be asking that, is it now a wrong thing to know God with our head, with our mind, with our minds? Of course, it's not wrong, because even right now as I'm talking to you, everything I'm saying is going first to your mind. Yeah. Yeah, and even if you read the Bible, you first receive the understanding in your mind, in your head. Yeah. So, but you should know that you cannot know God like that, because your mind is a fallen mind. Yeah, the mind of human beings are fallen. At that point, Adam and Eve fell in the garden. So our mind are fallen. So because of that, we can't know God in our mind. Yeah, in fact, our minds cannot even understand Him. Yeah, the only thing our minds can do is to believe and trust. Yeah, to believe and trust what we are learning, or what we have heard, or we are hearing, or we are reading about God. The only thing your mind can do is to believe and trust. That's all your mind can do. But your mind cannot know Him, or you can't know Him in your mind. It is not possible. Yeah. Because your mind will want to understand God according to how do I say it? Your mind will want to understand God according to your physical senses. Yeah, your mind will want to perceive God according to physical senses. Yeah, for instance, the Bible says that by stripes we are healed. Now, your mind will be thinking things like, if I have been healed by stripes, then why am I still sick? Why am I still sick? You know, the Bible told us that Jesus died on the cross, and at that moment He died, we have been healed. Yeah, so your mind will be your mind will be thinking like, if I have been healed, then why is it hard to get healed even after praying and praying? Yeah, you know, your mind will find it difficult to process many divine realities. Yeah, because your mind will want to use the human senses and the human knowledge to try to understand God and His Word, which is not possible. Yeah, it's not possible. Yeah, your mind will keep doubting, and your mind will keep having fears and unbelief. It is impossible for your mind to know God. Yeah, it is impossible. Yeah, and that is why your mind doubts a lot, and your mind has all kinds of fears. Yeah, because you can't know Him in your mind. Yeah, you can't know Him in your mind. In fact, sometimes, sometimes you probably have listened to a sermon, and while you are listening to that sermon, you know, there was a lot of faith, or while you were listening to the teaching, there was a lot of faith in your mind, and it looked like you can receive anything from God, and you can do anything through God. Faith was so much in your mind. But then, after some hours from that, you know, when the sermon ended, or when you stopped listening to the teaching, The same mind that was so full of faith now began to give you doubts and fears. Yeah, and that was the same mind that was so full of faith when you were listening to the teaching, when you were listening to the sermon. And now the same mind is giving you anxieties and worries and fears and doubts. So that confirms that our minds are fallen, and that we can't know God with this. You can't know God with your head, with your senses. I mean your physical senses, and with your mind. You can't know God. Yeah, but at least you can receive the information about God, the teachings about God. You can receive it through your mind, through your physical senses. Yeah, you can receive the teachings, the knowledge, that is the theoretical knowledge. Maybe I should put it like that. You can receive the theoretical knowledge through your physical senses and through your head, through your brain. Yeah, but don't think you can know God through that type of knowledge. Yeah, in fact, you keep getting confused if you try to know God with your head. Yeah. I hope you understand now. So God now expects you to do exercises that will now make you know Him with your spirit, even after you have received His word into your mind. God now expects that you do exercises, like you pray more, fast more, and do meditations. Yeah, God expects that you do more exercises, so that what you have known in your head can now start to come down into your spirit, to become real in your spirit. Yeah, because what you have known in your head about God cannot be real in your head. It will just be like any movie you watched, or any novel you read, or any other book you read. Yeah. So the knowledge of God cannot be real in our brain, in our minds. It can only be real in our spirits. Yeah. So God expects that we will seek after Him, we will hunger for Him, that we will and that hunger will take us into prayers and fastings. And we'll be asking Him to reveal Himself to us, that we want to know Him. Yeah. So God expects that after we have received His theoretical knowledge about Him in our brains, that we now go into prayer, that the God in the Bible should now appear to us as He is. Yeah. And if God sees that you're serious about that, He will now start to reveal Himself to you by His Spirit. And you'll be getting those revelations in your spirit. Yeah, so can you now see the difference now? So we can't know God in our brains or in our heads. It's not possible. Yeah, so there are people in the church today who have been going to church for years, that still don't know God. They only know Him according to the letters or according to the theories in the Bible, or the letters in the Bible. They don't know Him as He is. They don't know Him in their spirit. And that is why many of them easily doubt God. Many of them cannot trust God anymore. Yeah. In fact, if you don't work hard to start to know God with your spirit, after a while, your mind will not be able to believe God again. And your mind will not be able to trust God again. Yeah. So, people like me, that I have spiritual knowledge of God, not just head knowledge, and cannot doubt God anymore. Yeah, and not many. Yeah. You know, there are some Christians today that if things start to go negative in their lives, they will lose faith in God. Yeah, some, they are still serving God because things are going well with them. If things stop going well, they won't serve God anymore. In fact, some of them will stop attending church meetings. Yeah, to show that they don't know Him. Yeah, because people like me who really know God, we cannot deny Him because something is not working well. We cannot draw far from Him because we are not seeing some physical breakthroughs or some physical blessings. It's not possible. People like me, I can't just do that. Yeah, because I'm so much into God and He's so much into me. So there's no how I can even survive without staying close with Him, without staying with Him, without talking to Him, without fellowshipping with Him. There's no how I can survive. It's not possible. Yeah, so I have known Him beyond the mental knowledge and beyond the physical things. Yeah, I have known Him beyond that level. So it is impossible for me to, you know, stop believing Him or stop trusting Him. Yeah, because some things are not working the way I expect them to work. Yeah, so usually you will know if you are matured spiritually by how you react to the issues of life. Yeah, you will know if you really have known God by how you react to issues of life. Yeah, I pray that God will help you to know Him. Yeah, so as I was saying, the people that don't have this type of knowledge that I've just described, this heart knowledge or spiritual knowledge, yeah, they will always persecute those that have this type of knowledge. So which implies that you should expect even to be persecuted by your fellow Christians. You should expect to be persecuted by people in the church. Yeah, by people in the church. Yeah, because it's not everyone in the church that knows God. Yeah, and it's not everyone in the church that worship Him in the spirit and in the truth. Yeah, so those that don't know Him will always persecute and attack those that know Him. So my prayer for you is that you will know Him beyond head knowledge. Yeah, that you will know Him in that place where you want He wants to be known by you, which is in your spirit. That is where He wants to be known by you, in your heart, not in your head. So my prayer is that you will know God in that place, in Jesus' name. And anything you know in that place cannot depart from you. Yeah, anything you know in that place, in that place of spiritual bond with God. Yeah, anything you know in that place cannot depart from you. You know that husband and wives, I mean husbands and their wives, they have a body knowledge of each other. Yeah, they have body knowledge or carnal knowledge of each other. Yeah, because they are husbands and wives. Yeah. But even that type of knowledge can be forgotten. Yeah, because even now we have husbands that have girls or women outside. Yeah. And some of them, they can't even number how much women they have had affairs with. So which means they could even do without the carnal bond with the wife. You know, they could discard it and look for the enjoyment with another person. Yeah, but this one that I'm talking about cannot be discarded just like that. Yeah, because this one is not a physical knowledge or a physical bond. This is a spiritual bond. So that is how God wants us to know Him. Yeah, He wants us to know Him in the heart. You know, the Bible told us about two men David and Jonathan. I don't know if you have read that story. David and Jonathan. Yeah, the Bible told us how the heart of David is bonded or fused together with the heart of Jonathan. Yeah, so that kind of bond, that is what God wants to have with us, heart to heart bond. You know, and the Bible told us that the two of them, they loved each other. Yeah, because it doesn't make sense that that Jonathan would want to give his place as the heir to the throne, to David. And, you know, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Because Jonathan was the prince. His father was the king. Saul was his father. And under normal circumstances, Jonathan was to be the next in line to take the throne of his father. But Jonathan told David that he knows that God is with him and that God has prepared the throne of his father for him. And he wants to give David the throne that he should be the one to take. Yeah, so which means that the love between the two of them was divine. It was not according to self. Yeah, the love wasn't was not according to flesh. You know, most husbands and wives, the love between the two are according to self. Yeah, according to, you know, each of them want to enjoy each other. The husband wants to enjoy the wife, and the wife wants to enjoy the husband. So that kind of love, is it not according to self? Yeah. Now, that kind of love becomes divine when one is not looking for any self satisfaction. When one of them just only wants to satisfy the other. Yeah, and then the other also is not looking for our own selfish interest or to satisfy herself, but just want the, you know, is our partner to be satisfied. Yeah, so a true love is not about self satisfaction, selfish interest. But true love is not not about that. Yeah, true love means that you no longer care about yourself, but you now are living to satisfy others and to satisfy God. Yeah, you are no longer living for yourself. Yeah, and you don't care for anything. All you care for is for others to succeed and to fulfill their destinies. Yeah. So that was the kind of love that was between Jonathan and David. Now, so when we are if our heart and God's heart is going to join together, we must also have that type of love for God. That the kind of love that is not about ourselves, the kind of love that is just for God, that is, we are living to please Him and not ourselves. So, not ourselves. So, we are not seeking Him because of what we want to get from Him, but we are seeking Him because we want to please Him, we want to satisfy Him. So we don't care whether we get anything in return or not. We just want to please Him and satisfy Him. So we are not thinking about ourselves anymore. So that kind of love for God is what will begin to make your heart get fused with God's heart. You know, the way the heart of David and Jonathan got fused into each other. Now, it is at that point of oneness of spirit, oneness of heart, which is going to happen through love. I mean, through love. Yeah, through real love. Through agape love. Yeah, so it is when your heart and God's heart have knitted together or get fused together. That is when you can now know Him for real. It is at that point you can really know Him. Any other knowledge you have had of Him is not original until you have come to know Him at that point. didn't get it. There are scriptures that I wanted to share with us. I just feel like I should talk more on this, so that you'll be able to know if you really know God. And you'll be able to know people that know God when you see them. Now, another thing I want you to know is that at the level of this bond, a spirit to spirit bond or heart to heart bond, that is your spirit bonding with God's spirit, or your heart bonding with God, bonding with God's heart, at that level, there can never be lies. There can never be deception. That is why anyone that really know God must have been tested and tried by God. You know, the Bible told us Abraham was a friend of God. And you also see in the Bible that God tested Abraham with a very strong and powerful test. You know, he told him to go and kill his only son. The only son that was going to inherit his properties. He told him to go and sacrifice that only son to him. So Abraham was tested with a very strong test, to confirm the friendship or the bond him and God shares in the heart. In their heart, to prove that he really loved God, he was tested. So this heart to heart knowledge or bond, is a very powerful place to know God, because there cannot be lies in that place. There can't be lies in that place. So you can't deceive God, and then God also can't deceive you in that place. So that is why God will test you. If you desire this heart-to-heart bond with him, God will begin to test you to see if you really love him above every other thing else, and if you love him more than you love yourself, and if you really are not living for yourself, if you really are only living for him. So God is going to test you in many ways. He's going to test you in the area of your money, test you in the area of your beauty, your physical appearance. You're going to test you in many areas, in the areas of pride. You're going to test you in the area of lust and many other areas, so that you yourself, you'll be able to prove if you are worthy to be connected with him at that level of heart to heart. And you remember what the Bible told us about David? The Bible says he was a man after God's heart. So which means he was a man who loved God at the heart level. Even though he did make some mistakes. But what we know about David was that every time God corrected him, he yielded to correction immediately. David doesn't repeat his mistakes. He did make mistakes, but he didn't repeat those mistakes. Once God corrects him, he will not go back to that thing again. So he was a man who really loved God with the heart. Yeah, so that is how God wants us to know him. Yeah. And in that place of heart connection or heart bonding with God, you will be able to really know the perfect will of God. You'll be able to know many things, deep things of God. You know, you will have this joy and peace. Even when it looks like the physical things you are looking for is not showing or is not coming, there's this joy you will have. There's this peace you will have. There's this confidence you will have. Yeah, even if the whole world is falling apart. Yeah, so that kind of knowledge is very powerful. And not many people have that knowledge. Because even right now as I'm talking, there are a lot of Christians who keep failing God. Because God kept on testing them with many things. And they kept on failing him. Yeah, and they kept on proving that they love themselves more than God. And that they love the things of this world more than God. So they kept on proving, you know, some are proving that they love their children more than God. Some are proving that they love their spouses more than God. Some are proving that they love money more than God. So a lot of people are failing God at that point. So, and that is why God is not in many worship that people do today. Some people, they can sing praise songs, sing worship songs, but God is not there. Because their hearts are far from God. They don't really love God. And because of that, they don't really know God. Yeah, and these are people that will easily say, I am a committed worker in the church. I am a devoted worker or minister. I do this for God. I do that for God. Some of them will say, I pay tithes. I give offerings, I do this. Why is God doing this to me? Yeah, why is God not answering my prayers? How would they know why? See, you know, since they don't know God, yeah, they are only running after God for what they want to get. Yeah, they are not running after God for what God wants from their lives. They are not running after God to satisfy him. They are just running after him because of what they want from him. Yeah, so how can they even know that God have already answered their prayers? Yeah, because some of them are complaining, whereas God even have already answered their prayers. But they don't know because they are so blind. Yeah, so these are people who will easily murmur against God. They will easily complain. They will easily find faults in men of God and in the things of God. Yeah, they can easily do those things because they don't know God. Yeah, they have a very shallow knowledge of God. And that is why any small thing that happens, any small negative thing that happens in their physical environment, or that happens around them in their situations, they start to misbehave. Yeah, and they start to do things that God hates. So I pray for you once again, that may you know God. in this level, in the level of your spirit and heart, in Jesus' name. So we're going to quickly look at some scriptures before we round off this teaching. Remember, I said the topic is persecutors attack Christians because they don't truly know God. Yeah, and with all that I have said so far, now you can know those who don't truly know God. So, which also implies that you can become a persecutor if you fail to know God. You can find yourself in that position of a persecutor. You can now begin to persecute those that know God. Yeah, if you don't know God. Yeah. So that was why I took time to show you the difference between mental knowledge or head knowledge of God and heart knowledge of God or spiritual knowledge of God. So now we're going to look at John chapter 5, verse 18, and then verse 38, and then verse 42. John chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Yeah, so you can see they wanted to kill him because they couldn't receive it in their head. They couldn't receive it in their mind that this young man is God or is the Son of God. Yeah, they couldn't believe it. So they consider it to be blasphemy. Yeah, because for him to say he is the Son of God, he makes himself equal with God, and they don't believe that can ever happen. They don't believe that a man can be given that kind of spiritual ranking or promotion and become a son of God. Yeah, they don't believe that. They don't believe it can ever happen. Yeah, that a mortal man can become the son of God. Yeah. Yeah, so they started to fight him. Yeah, because they did not know him. They did not know that this man is the Son of God. So they wanted to kill him. Yeah, so let us look at verse 38. The same John chapter 5. Verse 38. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believe not. Yeah. Praise the Lord. He said, they do not have His word abiding in them. And that is why they can't believe. Yeah, that is why they cannot believe in the person that God has sent. That is, they couldn't believe in Him that God has sent, because the word of God is not abiding in them. Praise the Lord. Yeah. What does it mean to have God's word abiding in you? I have said it before. God's word abides in the hearts of those who are obeying it, those who are doing it. Yeah. So when God's word comes to you, either through a teaching or through the reading of the Bible, God's word is going to be looking for a place to stay in you. So you are the one that will provide the room for God's word to stay in you. And how you will provide that room is by believing it and by agreeing with it and by obeying it. That is, you believe the word, you agree with the word, and you obey the word. Yeah. So when the word of, you know, the word of God is a spirit. So when that word comes in and He sees that your heart doesn't welcome Him, let's say for instance, the word that says, do not lie. And then when the word enters into your heart, He sees that you still want to lie, you still want to continue to tell lies, the word will just leave. So that means there's no resting place for his word in your heart. Or the word says, do not commit fornication, and do not commit sexual sins in your mind, because you know you can sin, you can have sex with people in your mind. You know, Jesus told us that. Yeah, Jesus told us that we can commit sexual sins in our mind. Or you have not read that in your Bible. Yeah, Jesus said if you look at the opposite sex and you lust after the opposite sex in your heart, that you have already committed sexual sin with that person in your mind. Yeah, so now if the word of God that says don't lust, yeah, is trying to find a resting place in your heart, but then the word sees that your soul wants to continue to lust, then that word will disappear. Yeah, so to have the word of God abiding in you is not by memorizing the scriptures. That was what the Pharisees and the religious leaders in the days of Jesus, that was what they were doing. Many of them, they had the Bible in their heads. They have memorized a lot of portions of the scriptures. Yeah, but the word was not in them. It was not in their heart, because they do not want to do the word. They do not want to obey the word. So the word couldn't stay in their heart. Now, if they had allowed the word of God to stay in their heart, that word would have shown them that this man called Jesus is the Messiah. Yeah, that word in their hearts would have revealed it and confirmed it to them that Jesus has come to save them. Yeah, so that was what Jesus was saying. Yeah, so if you are looking for revelations of Jesus, you are looking for revelations from Jesus, you want Jesus to reveal himself to you, then you need to let the words of Jesus find its resting place in your heart, in your soul. That is how Jesus will begin to show himself to you. You need to let his word that you have seen in the Bible stay in you by believing that word, agreeing with that word, and doing that word, obeying that word. That's how his word will stay in you. So there are a lot of good preachers today. Even preachers that can preach more than I am and can teach more than I am. Yeah, but the word is not in them. The word of God is not abiding in them. But they have it in their head. They could speak a lot from their heads because they have all these scriptures. Yeah, and they have all this understanding of the word of God. And some of them even have revelations of the word of God. But those revelations they have is not in them. They only have it through the gifts of the Spirit. Now, you can have revelations because you have the gifts of the Spirit, not because the word of God is actually abiding in your heart. So the revelation you will get when the word of God is abiding in your heart is going to be more powerful than revelation you will get because of spiritual gifts. Yeah, you know, because you have the spiritual gift to see into the Spirit. I don't have time to be explaining all that, but I just want you to know that you must let God's word find a resting place in your heart. And that is how you will know him. Yeah, just know that. I pray that will happen in your life in Jesus' name. Now, in verse 42, now, this is Jesus still speaking. Now, Jesus said, "But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you." So you can see Jesus was talking to these people that want to, you know, that are plotting to kill him. He was telling them that he knows them, that they don't have the love of God in them. I pray you will have the love of God in you. So let's go to other scriptures because we don't have time. Now, let's look at John chapter 8, verse 37. John chapter 8, verse 37. This is still Jesus speaking. He said, "I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." You can see that. Because the word that was coming from Jesus doesn't have a place in them. And that was why they wanted to kill him. Yeah. So you can see that if you don't let the word of God find a resting place in you, you are going to persecute God. You are going to attack God, and you are going to attack those that have let the word of God find So this thing is just natural and automatic. Yeah, if you don't let God's word find a resting place in you, you're going to eventually become an enemy of God and an enemy of those who have allowed God's word find resting place in them. Yeah, there are things that God cannot tell people because he knows that they cannot receive it because their heart is against him. There are things God cannot show people because he knows that they are not going to receive it. And they are not even going to believe it because their heart is against him. Now, even myself, there are things I can't tell some people because I could discern their heart. I could discern that their heart cannot receive those things. And their hearts cannot believe those things. Yeah. So I'll just keep quiet. There's a way I just know. So if I can know that, what about God? Yeah, you know, God who knows all things. Yeah, so there is a way, as a spiritual person, there's a way you know if someone else has the kind of heart that you have. There's a way you just know it. Maybe you're talking with someone. As a spiritual person, there's a way you will know that, you will know if the other person has the kind of heart you have. And by that, you'll be able to know what to share with that person and what to not share with that person. Yeah. So God have the same. So and that was why Jesus was speaking to the people in parables. Because he knows they can't receive the truth because their hearts are against God. I pray that your hearts will not be against God. So now let's also look at John 15, verse 21. John 15, 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Yeah, you can see, those that don't know God, they will do a lot of bad things to those that know God. Yeah, so there are some comments that people write on my post. On Facebook that I just overlook. I don't pay attention because I know if they know what I know, they will not write that comment. Yeah, I just bypass those comments. I don't even reply. Sometimes I can delete it. Yeah, because I don't want them to confuse others. Yeah. Because I know if they know what I know, if they know who I know, they will not write such comments. Yeah, so we should get ready to be persecuted by people who don't know our God. Now, John 15, verse 24. The same John 15, verse 24. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both sin and hated both me and my Father. Wow. May God have mercy on our generation. Yeah, so Jesus was speaking in this place that if he had not done the works that he had done among them, they wouldn't have had sin. But now that they have seen the works, the miraculous works, and yet their hearts were still hardened, and now they have seen. So what that means to you and I is that we must be careful how we relate with God. Yeah. And we must make sure that we please God. Yeah, because all these miracles that God have done in your life, all the blessings you have received, they are going to testify against you on the day of judgment. If you eventually did not make it to heaven, all the blessings you have gotten from God, all the miracles, all the signs and wonders, which God did so that, you know, He did it in order to draw you closer to Himself so that you can know Him. Yeah, but you received all those miracles and blessings and protection and deliverances and healings, and yet you still turn against God in your heart and sin against Him. So all those blessings, all those miracles, they will testify against you on the day of judgment. Yeah, I think I shared a revelation I had some time ago that I saw an angel, and the angel was measuring something that looks like a rock, and the angel was measuring it on a scale. Yeah. And I was asking the angel that, why are you measuring this thing? Yeah, he said, this is a problem that was removed from the life of someone. Yeah, he said, we are taking record of it. And I was curious. I said, why are you taking record of a problem that was removed from the life of someone who prayed for God to remove the problem? Yeah, he said, because if that person failed to continue with God in righteousness and in obedience, that this record we use to testify against them on the day of judgment. So I was scared. Yeah, that angels take record of every blessing we get from God, every deliverance, every miracle. Yeah, because they expect that those miracles should draw us more closer to God and make us to serve God with fear and please God more. So if we fail to do that, each of those miracles will stand against us on the day of judgment. They will testify against us. I pray that you will not suffer such kind of judgment in Jesus' name. Let's continue. And then let's look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verse 27 to 28. Acts of the Apostles, 13. 27 to 28. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they are fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. You can see, yeah, the scripture says that the Israelites or the Jews, they always have the prophets, the book of the prophets read to them in every Sabbath day, on every Sabbath day in the synagogue. They would listen to all the letters, all the books of the prophets in the Old Testament. But they did not allow those words to enter into their hearts. And that was why they became the fulfillment of the same words they were listening to. They became the fulfillment of those prophecies they were listening to. That is, they became those that will fulfill that, those enemies that those prophecies say will fulfill the prophecies. I don't know if you get my point. So let's say you are hearing a prophecy, and the prophecy is saying that if a time will come, some people, because they hate the truth, they will crucify the person that God sent to them to save them. And then as you are listening to those prophecies, you're saying, wow, when will this prophecy come to pass? Not, you know, that was what happened in those days. So the people themselves did not know that they were the ones that will be the enemy that will fulfill the prophecies they were listening to. I pray that you will not become the enemy of God that will fulfill the negative aspect of the prophecies of God. In Jesus' name. We're going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask on the platform. Because I've said it before that if anyone have questions, you should have typed it in the chat section here on the conference call platform before I finish teaching, so that immediately I finish, I will just look at the question and answer immediately. But since there's no question already in that place, you can ask on the Telegram platform. But let us pray. Father, we are grateful for everything you have showed us from your word tonight. Thank you for making us to understand your scriptures. Thank you, Father. Thank you for showing us how we should let your word find a dwelling place in our hearts. Thank you, Father. Thank you for showing us that we should not stop at the theoretical knowledge of you. We should desire that knowledge of you, spiritual knowledge of you. Thank you, Lord, for showing us that. Thank you also for showing us that it is those who do not know you as you are that will persecute those who have come to know you as you are. Thank you for showing us all these things so that we can know how to live our lives in this body, in this physical body we have found ourselves, so that we can know how to live our lives in this earth. Thank you for showing us these things. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you help every one of us here to obey this word we have heard here this evening. Help every one of us here to obey this teaching and to put them into practice. In Jesus' name. Help us to have an heart that is exactly like your heart. In Jesus' name. And help us to worship and serve you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.